You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
I am going to give you a word that God has given me today, and I'm so excited about it. And it comes from Zechariah 4:10. Which says, "Do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." The title of the sermon is, "Don't Despise the Day." Don't despise the day. Regardless of what it looks like right now, don't despise the day. Don't be discouraged. This scripture is so special to me and Pastor Corinne, because as Apostle was putting us into place, which I heard another young pastor say this weekend, he said that the elders of the church tricked him into being the pastor. Sometimes God has to trick you into doing stuff. But as we were taking the church and taking that great responsibility on, we received this word several times in Zechariah 4:10. Do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And I want to give you a little background, because this is regarding a story with a man named Zerubbabel. And the word was originally given to Zerubbabel. It says, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. And so I want to lay a little foundation, give you a little backstory on Zerubbabel, because every scripture actually tells a story. So we want to hear that story today, because I believe it bears a lot of significance to where we are right now and where God is taking us as a people. And we can find the backstory of Zerubbabel in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 1, if you want to go there. And we'll read this little passage of scripture. The children of Israel at this point had been captives in a different land. Babylon had conquered Jerusalem and Judah, and they had taken all the best men and women and children and carted them off, taken all the stuff out of the temple, all the gold, all the treasures of Jerusalem that once upon a time people came from all around the world to look at the beautiful temple of Solomon. Well, Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, had torn it down, took all the gold out of the temple, tore the walls down of Jerusalem, and took all the best and brightest. So it's been 70 years now that the people of Israel have been in bondage, are in captivity here in Babylon. So this is where it starts, Ezra 1. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord fulfilled the prophecy he had given through Jeremiah. He stirred the heart of Cyrus to put this proclamation in writing and send it throughout his kingdom. This is what King Cyrus of Persia said. This is after 70 years now. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build him a temple in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Any of you who are his people may go to Jerusalem in Judah to rebuild this temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem. And may your God be with you wherever the Jewish remnant is found. Let their neighbors contribute towards their expense by giving them silver and gold, supplies for the journey and livestock, as well as a voluntary offering for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then God stirred the hearts of the priests and Levites and the leaders of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of the Lord. And all their neighbors assisted them by giving them articles of silver and gold and supplies for the journey." I wish I had some neighbors like this. Amen. "And livestock. They gave them many valuable gifts in addition to the voluntary offering. King Cyrus himself brought out articles that King Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the Lord's temple in Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of his own gods. Cyrus directed Mithridath. I was trying to get Esperanza to say this last night. Mithridath. Can you say it? Mithridath. It's a fun game. Take a complicated word from the Bible and see if your child can say it. So Cyrus directed Mithridath, the treasurer of Persia, to count these items and present them to Sheshbazzar. Now Sheshbazzar is the Persian name for Zerubbabel, the leader of the exiles returning to Judah. This is a list of the items that were returned. 30 gold basins, 1,000 silver basins, 29 silver incense burners, 30 gold bowls, 410 silver bowls, 1,000 other items. In all, there were 5,400 articles of gold and silver. Sheshbazzar, or Zerubbabel, brought all these things along when the exiles went from Babylon to Jerusalem. So, King Cyrus, who is over Persia, which is the largest now empire, it now has annexed Babylon, and so it includes Babylon. He gives an edict to rebuild the temple. And Zerubbabel was the leader of the first wave of people to return to Jerusalem. Like I said, 70 years. 70 years they've been waiting to once again be free to go home. The situation 70 years ago in Jerusalem had gotten so bad because the people had turned away from God. They had fallen into idolatry. They had fallen into all other kinds of sins. And so God had decided to, after giving them grace and giving them mercy and giving them another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance, he decided, I'm just going to turn them over to Babylon for 70 years. And so this is the first wave of people back. This is the scene that they return to in Jerusalem. They don't come into a beautiful city with a beautiful palace and a legendary temple that people from all over the world came to visit. They didn't come to a rich city with pools and aqueducts and all system of irrigation. No, they didn't come back to that. They came back to ruins. No great walls, no elders at the gates, just rubble. Just rocks. A seriously hopeless sight in the natural. When Zerubbabel and the people show up, their first assignment is to rebuild the temple. Zerubbabel knows it's only with God's help they can restore the city. Some people are ready to build. Some people are concerned that what they would be able to build would not be anything in comparison to what they'd lost. Are you hearing me today? Sometimes we're reluctant to build. We're reluctant to start because we don't think what we can do is good enough. We don't think our rebuilding or renovation or building process is going to be anything in light of what's been done before. It's not really going to make a difference. Maybe today you're looking at the rubble of your life saying, you don't realize how beautiful it used to be before stuff got messed up. You're looking at the ruins of your life, and I want to encourage you, just like Zerubbabel, there is a rebuilding process going on. There is a project that God is doing. Put your finger in your chest and say, I'm the project. God is rebuilding me. God is doing a renovation work, and he's looking to partner with you. God is renovating us. It may look hopeless. You may look like rubble. You may look like a bunch of rocks today. But God is in the process of renovation, so I want to just encourage you, don't give up. Allow God to do what he does best. Allow there to be time. Give God the time to make things beautiful. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Can you say that with me? In its time. In its time. He also set eternity in the human heart. See, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We can't even understand what God is doing. What we look around and see rubble, we see ruins. God sees building material. God is about to blow your mind with what you think are scraps and spare parts and scars and damaged goods. God is going to rebuild. God is going to renovate. So Zerubbabel has his work cut out for him. Why? Because he's got a bunch of rubble and he's got about 42,000 people with him that are out of practice with the things of God. You know, you ever been in that place where you're like, you realize you get out there on faith and you're actually with kind of a ragtag situation? God got you all pumped up in the prayer closet, and now you realize where the rubber hits the road, I'm here standing in the middle of the ruins with 42,000 untrained people following me that have forgotten more about the law than they remember. They've forgotten more Bible than they remember. So he's got his work cut out for him. Somebody say this with me, challenges. Let me tell you something, there's going to be challenges. God's way is always a challenge. It's never smooth sailing. You know, I don't know why it is. I don't know why it is, Prophet Dennis. It's never that smooth. There's always going to be some rocks that you're stubbing your toe. There's always going to be some rubble in your path. So get ready. I hope you're up for it. But God will put you in a position that you have to take rubble and begin to build. You know, there's some great civilizations that realize this. You know, after Rome was sacked, you know, they started taking the bricks and stuff from the Colosseum, and they say, hey, we're going to use this stuff as building material and build our house. You see, we have to be able to look around and see, what has God placed around me? What is this? And some people see junk, but if you begin to see things by the Spirit, you begin to see options, possibilities. I see building materials. You may not have what you want, but you have exactly what you need. We always want somebody else's stuff. We want somebody else's tools. We want somebody else's money. We want somebody else's friends. We want somebody else's position. But guess what? You don't have what you want, but you got what you need. You have what you need to get started. It's in your hands. Although it's humble, it's exactly what you need to get started. Take what's in your hands today. God said something really awesome to Moses. He asked him a question. You know, God asks us questions lots of times to lead us to the place we need to go. He said, what's in your hand? Well, God, I just have a stick. Take that stick, and I'm going to bring an empire to its knees with my word, your purpose, and that stick. Imagine what God can do with a couple of sticks and stones that are in your life. Maybe some people threw them at you to try to tear you down. But God is going to use it to build you up. The real tragedy is if you never start. The enemy wants us to stop, to get discouraged before we ever get started. If you never start building, you're no threat to the enemy. If you never start building, you're never experience purpose. Purpose is found in the building process. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. But before you were born, I set you apart. Can I tell you this today? God chose you. It wasn't an accident. You're exactly where you need to be right now to make a difference. You are exactly where you need to be right now. Yeah, maybe you made some mistakes. Maybe you've made some missteps. But God has got you right where you are right now. And he wants to use you. He's chosen you. God has destined you. Zerubbabel wasn't chosen by accident. King Cyrus didn't say, you know what, Sheshbazzar, Zerubbabel, I'm going to entrust you with the stuff from the temple. I'm going to let everybody line up behind you as the leader. You go. You be in charge. Anybody wonder why Zerubbabel was selected? Zerubbabel was born to do what he did. He was not just randomly selected. You are not randomly selected. Zerubbabel was the lineage of David. He was the next in line to be the throne. Zerubbabel was born to be a leader. And so he was a prince. He was in the lineage of David. He had a destiny to lead. Can I tell you, you have a destiny to lead? God called you to be a leader. God didn't call you to sit on the sidelines. God called you, if you got to rub two rocks together to make something happen with that. If you got to take some sticks and some stones that people have thrown at you. God has got an anointing on your life to lead. How many believe that? See, many believers, unfortunately, not in this house, many believers are sitting on the sidelines waiting for someone else to do it. They're waiting for someone else to lead. They're waiting for someone else to fulfill the very purpose that God gave them. We're looking around and saying, man, do you understand the day that we're living in? Maybe if I was born in a different era, or maybe if I was born in a different family, or maybe if I'd had a different nationality, maybe I could make a difference. But God is saying, no, I chose you. I predestined you. I chose you even in your mother's womb to do something great. So King Cyrus put Zerubbabel in charge, not randomly, but because he was royalty. Can I tell you, you're royalty today? Each and every person that's sitting in this room, you're a child of God. You were selected for a special purpose. And even if you don't realize it yet, the rubble in your life, the gifts that are about to come into your life, are all regarding the purpose that God has for you. God is preparing it for you. God is waiting for you to step in your position. Zerubbabel's project with the people was to rebuild the temple. They had to take the rubble, the ruins, and other stuff that they brought with them and, you know, some favor, parlay some favor, get some timber, and begin this rebuilding process. We have a similar commission today. We have to take the rubble, the ruins, whatever favor that we have, and build a temple out of it. Let me tell you what type of temple we're building. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Point to yourself and say, I'm the temple. We are the rebuilding process. We are the temple. Yes, we are a people. We are a church. But guess what? You're the church. You're the church that God's trying to build. You're the temple that God wants to build. God wants his spirit inside of you to be the light of the world. We must take whatever we've been through and with God's help begin to make ourselves into a temple that God can use. We have to become a place that God's Spirit can be welcomed. Not sometimes, not just on Sundays and at small group, but all the time. God wants to be in relationship. You know, when you're in relationship with somebody, you don't just, and I'm talking about like a good friend. I'm talking about like a best friend. You don't just talk to him once a week. You don't just talk to him once a month. Actually, you're in relationship. So God wants us to be the type of temple that he is in relationship with us. Not at a distance. He wants you and I to be his temples. What rubble, what imperfections do you have today? Think about it. Think about it. Don't just let this go in one ear and out the other ear. What type of imperfections do you have today? What is the rubble? Because God is going to use that rubble to build something beautiful. What looks like ruins to you, looks like building material to him. Are you ready to become something that the Lord can use? No, listen, I'm not trying to say something that's just like Christian-y and something that you're going to hear when you come to church. No, no matter how God has used you in the past, God is going to use you more in the future. When I tell you this applies to each and every one of us, it applies to each and every one of us. God is building himself a temple, and it's you and me. No matter how good you think you are, no matter how Christian you think you are, no matter how much you think that you're walking stuff out, you know what? There's still room for improvement. There's still some things that God wants to tweak. There's still some things that God wants to renovate. Why? Because he wants to be in such partnership with us that his salt and light is so evident in our lives, so evident in our communities. The problem, many Christians, instead of building the temple, they start complaining and saying it's hopeless. You know, maybe some of those people with Zerubbabel, 42,000 people, it's a lot of people. Maybe some of them at the beginning, they said, you know what? We can do this. And then they showed up and they said, we cannot do this. It's too much work. It's too much rubble. I thought we'd have like a foundation and maybe half a wall here and a half a wall there. We could just kind of patch some stuff up. No, a lot of times that's what happens. We get sucked into this mentality where instead of building the temple, we start complaining of why it can't happen. But if we just begin to lift up our eyes, lift up our head and see our help comes from the Lord. You know what? We're not meant to build it by ourselves. God doesn't expect for us to do it all alone. He's going to help us. We've got a foreman in Jesus. He will partner with us to make this great temple. Here's a great principle that we have to take away. Don't compare. Just build. Some of the problem with the people with Zerubbabel was this. They were comparing what had been done before with Solomon's temple and comparing that to what they felt capable of doing. And so there were all these comparisons going on. Some people are comparing what you're building with something else that has been built. Do we do that sometimes? Yeah. Sometimes we say, well, this person's spiritual walk looks... You know, some people are comparing what you're building to what's been built in the past. You know, my grandfather, my mother's faith, my father's faith. Come on, let's be real. My uncle's faith. And we begin to compare our temple to what has been built in the past. Don't worry about other temples. Can I just take that stress off you today? Build the one that God has given you to build. You know, I was, we were sitting at the table with one of those great rabbis, and we were talking about some things, and I got to ask a question. They said, okay, so I was telling him, you know, we are all exchanging stories about where we come from and what we do and why we're doing what we're doing now. And so one of the older rabbis, and he was trying to be sensitive to me, he said, do you ever feel like pressure or stress because you have so many pastors in your family that have gone before you and like feel like the weight of having to accomplish some. And I said, you know, really, I haven't given a lot of thought to that. Because I'm not comparing what I'm doing to something someone else has done. You know what? I'm just going to build. Is it all right to just say, I'm just going to build? And you know what? When God partners with you, it's going to be what it's going to be. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. And so, don't worry about what temples. In the good old days, some people like to talk about good old day temples. Focus on the building project right now. It's time for us to be concerned about the temple that God wants us to be. What kind of temple does God want you to be? Get to work on that. Get to work on that. Don't be worried about even the person on your row. You know, that's great. Let it be an inspiration to you if it's an inspiration. But other than that, you know what? Work on you. Work on the temple that God has given you to work on. It's a great statement that Apostle said. He said, don't miss the supernatural looking for the spectacular. Sometimes we take commonplace the gifts that we have, and we are idolizing someone else's gift, idolizing someone else's success, instead of saying, you know what? I'm going to value the supernatural thing that God has going on in my life. And I'm not gonna get mixed up in comparison. So don't stop that temple, building your temple. Continue the temple. The important part is that you get started. And that you continue. When we look around at other people, a lot of times it causes us to miss it. We miss what God is doing with us. We get unfocused. We're no longer applying our passion and our efforts to the temple project that God has given us. Can I tell you this? A humble temple is infinitely more superior to no temple at all. You do the math. You do the math. A humble temple is infinitely more superior to no temple at all. So if we sit around looking at other people's temples, other people's walks, other people's successes, and we don't build what God has given us to build, guess what? We haven't done anything. We haven't even attempted. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for obedience. God already found perfection. And it's Jesus. He's looking for us to obey. And you know what's so great? God clothed us with Jesus. His perfection is already on you. You don't have to worry about that part. The part we have to worry about is obedience. So we build. So we build. Will you bow your heads with me today? Thank you, God, for the challenge to build. God, more than anything else, you're building us. You're building a church with living stones. And you're building our personal temple with the rubble, with the stuff that's gone on in our life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, the scars. You're bringing it together into a tapestry, into something that contains the salt and light. Father, I thank you. Just as it says in Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. God, let us rejoice in the work that you've given us to do. God, let us rejoice to start. Or God, let us rejoice to continue. Or God, let us rejoice to get ignited in our passion to build this relationship with you, to build this walk with you. Everything pales in comparison to the beauty of obeying, picking up whatever we have in our hands and beginning to build. Father, I thank you, Father, that you would cause us to be builders of temples.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.